The Snohomish County Sheriff's Office says that search and rescue personnel believe they have found the last body from the March 22nd mudslide that killed 43 people in Oso, Washington. Details are expected at a news conference this afternoon. Why did that hillside collapse? Well, a team of scientists spent 4 days collecting data at the site of the mudslide, and today geologists and geotechnical engineers released a report with their findings. It's intended to help other communities prepare for future disasters. Joining us in the studio, David Montgomery, a UW professor of geomorphology and one of the authors of the study. Thanks so much for stopping by, David.
Oh, sure, Russ, no problem.
Well, first off, you found that the Oso landslide was not one landslide.
Yeah, I was actually fairly surprised by that. In hindsight, I shouldn't have been, because a couple days after it happened, Kate Altstadt with the seismographic station here at UW analyzed the seismic signal and said, look, there's two clear sort of episodes separated by about a minute and a half, if I recall correctly. One of the things you wouldn't get that from just looking at the aerial photographs or from the LIDAR, the post-failure topography.
Well, if you were there, would you have noticed a pause between the one landslide and the second?
Well, some of the eyewitness accounts that we compiled in the report actually mentioned that. It's very difficult when something like that is happening to pay attention to everything. But when we went out and looked at the geology on the ground, essentially the deposits that were left by the slide, we found very clear evidence of essentially two phases, sort of validating what Kate hypothesized. And the first phase seems like it was the lower part of the hill slope. It's the part that mobilized really rapidly and spread across the valley bottom, did all the damage. And most of the stuff, we think, that mobilized in that first phase event was material that had been involved in those sort of the failures that go back decades to the 1940s and 50s, where the slide had been repeatedly failing and going a little back further upslope each time, digging its hole a little deeper. It was a lot of that sheared up material that was prone to liquefaction and failed as the first phase. And then the second phase was when that debuttressed, removed the support at the bottom of the bigger slope behind it. That part came down but didn't run out as far.
Do we know now the cause of the Oso mudslide?
Well, you know, we weren't really charged with trying to investigate what the actual cause was. If you're thinking of, you know, the question we always get is logging or erosion at the toe or things like that. We weren't really charged with trying to do the forensic work to do that. That's a lot more than 4 days worth of reconnaissance field effort to really sort out. What we tried to do is basically collect as many of the geological observations and put as much of the context together for that site that will help try and ultimately answer those questions. So we didn't like reveal a smoking gun in the report today. We weren't charged with it. We didn't really try to. We tried to actually understand from a scientific perspective more about the history of the site, how it failed during that event, and why it failed so far this time rather than the shorter distances it had failed in the past. And if I recall right, we came up with a list of about 10 potential contributing factors, you know, not all of which would have the same weight, but we didn't try and actually assign relative weights to them. This was a reconnaissance report. But, you know, but realistically, top of the list was there was a lot of rainfall and the site was very wet. One of the things, though, I was very surprised about myself in doing the field work was the number of seeps, the places where groundwater was seeping out of the deposits on the left looking downslope or eastern margin of the site. There was water coming that was being pirated from groundwater from the neighboring basin. And there was a whole series of seeps along that side, which probably helps explain why the site was so wet. You know, the rainfall is obviously a big part of that explanation. The fact that that area had failed in the past was a big factor in terms of reducing the strength of the material for setting the first piece off. But if you look at sort of the broader scale, the sort of the ultimate causality in the geologic picture of things, you had a stack of weak sediments undercut by centuries of erosion by the river at a time when we got a lot of rainfall, but rainfall that wasn't out of bounds for what you might expect for an extreme event in the current climate.
David Montgomery is a professor of geomorphology at the University of Washington, and he's telling us about a report that just came out today taking a look at the Oso landslide. It was funded by the National Science Foundation. You went way back. I understand you used carbon dating to estimate the frequency of landslides.
Well, yeah, we actually – and I should basically say this is a team of six people, geotechnical engineers and geologists under the rubric of GEAR, the Geotechnical Extreme Event Reconnaissance Association or group, that was asked to have a look at this. One of the things we did do was find buried logs that had been buried in prior episodes of big landslides at that site. One of the things that was commented on early on in the media is when you look at the topography for that site with the LIDAR data, that sort of high-resolution digital laser-generated topography, you can see evidence for big older slides in that same vicinity of the valley. The Oso slide opened an exposure into the scarp and the deposit of the slide to the immediate east in the Headache Creek Basin, the place where that groundwater is being captured from. And we found three logs that we pulled out of that deposit and carbon dated, and they all dated to about 5,300 radiocarbon years, which translates to about 6,000 calendar years because of the drift in the carbon calibration curve. So we know some of these big old slides are thousands of years old, and those failed before the chainsaw was invented, right? So this is a naturally very unstable valley. But that starts to put a time scale on turning the hazard into an assessment of risk.
And what about the future? You were looking at the past, but did you come to any conclusions that might lead us to know whether there might be some more small landslides?
Well, you know, that site is unstable. It will probably continue to be small landslides in the future. But the real obvious lesson to draw from this are places where a river is undercutting the toe of an old landslide or one of these ancient landslides is a place that we really ought to be paying particular attention to in terms of hazards.
We're just about out of time, but what's the one question you were not able to answer in your 4 days that most intrigues you about the Oso landslide?
Oh, boy, well, you know what I'd really like to know? I'd really like to know what the third dimension is, to get holes drilled through the slide, because we put together surficial information to try and generate a model hypothesis for how the thing failed. To really test that, you want to drill down and see the third dimension and see whether we were totally wrong or whether we were close to right.
David Montgomery, thank you so much.
Great, thank you.
David Montgomery, professor of geomorphology at University of Washington. He and his team of scientists released a report today examining the causes of March's landslide in Oso. This is The Record on KUOW.